It's Monday, October 19th, and this is VOA's International Edition. Hello, I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Coming up, the Philippines endures an unusual weather threat. The U.S. Congress reconvenes leaderless and with big issues ahead. World football's leadership is in disarray.
Yes, there were surprises.
We hear about unexpected surprises as country music announces nominees for the year's top awards. It's all coming up on today's International Edition. The Philippines is one of the hardest hit nations when it comes to natural disasters, and while it is often in the direct path of powerful typhoons, the latest is especially threatening. A crawling and sprawling storm with clouds covering 600 kilometers, blanketing the northern half of the Philippines. So far, there's just one officially confirmed death. Simone Orendain provides the latest details from Manila.
Typhoon Kopu is packing gusts of up to 185 kilometers per hour as it makes slow progress toward the northernmost Philippines. State forecaster Manny Mendoza says since Kopu is progressing at just 5 kilometers per hour, the Weather Service revised its expected exit from land to Thursday instead of Tuesday. He refers to Kopu by its local name, Lando.
Due to interaction between the high-pressure area at the West Philippine Sea and due to the interaction of the Typhoon Champi, east northeast of this Typhoon Lando, is now slowly moving.
Mendoza says heavy to intense rain will continue in bursts in the mountainous provinces on the north and north central part of the Philippines' main island of Luzon. Forecasters say this is causing flash flooding and landslides. The winds have uprooted trees, knocked out power, and blown off lightweight rooftops. Power company workers are trying to restore electricity to at least 24 municipalities in the northeast, and the military has started clearing operations on major roads and bridges. The Civil Defense Office head, Alexander Pama, says more than 20,000 people have been moved to evacuation centers. Close to four dozen flights have been grounded, and about 5,500 ferry passengers are stranded because all sea craft have been ordered off the water. Simone Orendain for VOA News, Manila.
Kopu is not expected to hit the capital, Manila, directly. President Benigno Aquino on Friday appeared on national television to warn residents about the storm. It is the first time Aquino has issued a nationally televised warning about a typhoon since November 2013. That's when Typhoon Haiyan, known locally as Yolanda, swept through the country, leaving more than 7,000 people dead or missing. About 20 typhoons and storms hit the Philippines each year. Many of them are deadly. Well, we turn now to what's being said online about Typhoon Kopu. Our social media guru, G. Abby Lee, is here with the latest. Hello, G.
Hi, Jim.
This is the big international news this Sunday. How much attention is it getting on Twitter?
A number of international agencies are tweeting about the typhoon and, of course, media outlets as well. CNN Philippines, a main content provider for the American media company there, has been sending out some useful tweets for the locals throughout Sunday. Its handle is at CNN Philippines. It tweeted an infographic of emergency contact information for the National Disaster Risk Reduction and Management Council, also known as NDRRMC. It's a working group of public and private organizations in the Philippines.
Is that on Twitter as well?
It is. The handle is at NDRRMC_OPCEN, short for Operation Center. It's actively trying to use the power of social media to reach the victims. For example, one of their latest tweets reads like this. Use hashtag RescuePH, hashtag LandoPH for rescue. Please include your name, exact location, and contact information. Kindly tag at Project Agos and at NDRRMC_OPCN. That's been retweeted almost 200 times.
Well, it's perhaps not a whole lot of retweets given the magnitude of the situation, right?
Great point. But we do have to take into consideration that English is not the main language used in the Southeast Asian country. So, sure, it's one of the two official languages, but Tagalog is spoken more widely.
What about tweets from outside of the Philippines?
I saw a good amount of international support. So the International Aid Agency for England and Wales for the Catholic religions at CAFOD tweeted, "Please join us in praying for those suffering in the Philippines from hashtag Typhoon Kopu." Better known international agencies that tweeted about the typhoon include UNICEF, World Vision, and WHO. Back to you, Jim.
Well, we certainly wish all the best for everyone in the Philippines getting through this storm. And we thank you, G, for being here today. G tweets for our VOA International Edition Twitter account. That's at VOA_IE. And, of course, you can also follow her on her very own Twitter account at G Abby Lee. This is VOA.
The news never stops, so keep current on your mobile device with VOA News. Just go to m.voanews.com/English for instant, up-to-the-minute news and entertainment. Check m.voanews.com/English on your handheld device for news as it happens. Stay connected with a fast-changing world with m.voanews.com/English.
Hashtag VOA. It's a weekly show, Tuesdays at 1730 UTC, where we bring you the top topics of the week. But the show lives on social media every day with your daily video shorts, What's Trending Wednesday, and the Friday Fast Five. Subscribe to the show at YouTube. You can find us at hashtag VOA. You can reach me at Twitter, at Perry Cal, or talk to the show anytime. Please don't forget to like us on Facebook. We like to be liked. We love to be seen. And you can reach us anytime.
This is VOA's International Edition. The U.S. Congress faces critical fiscal deadlines at a time of upheaval and uncertainty on Capitol Hill. Lawmakers are returning from a week-long recess, still wondering who will lead the House of Representatives. Returning to our studios, VOA Senate correspondent Michael Bowman with insight into the building drama in Congress.
Congress has been gone for a week, and they are coming back essentially with no better clue as to who will lead the House of Representatives than when they left town. Speaker John Boehner resigned last month, effective at the end of this month. However, if no one is chosen to replace him, he's going to have to stay on. And this leads to all kinds of interesting possibilities. Just to recap very quickly, his deputy, Kevin McCarthy, was up for the job and everyone thought he was a shoe-in. And then he abruptly reversed course and said, nope, I'm not going to take the job. Paul Ryan, whom everyone knows as having been Mitt Romney's running mate in the 2012 election and is sort of a wizard on Republican budgetary matters, known as the fiscal brain of the party, he's very well known, but he doesn't know that he wants to take the job either. He's being somewhat coy. There's a lot of pressure on him to seek the post, but he hasn't agreed yet. And he gives no indication that he will agree. And then you have all these lesser known members of the Republican caucus who very much want the job, but none of whom have a following large enough to actually get it. So Congress is in kind of a pickle. And this is a particularly interesting time for the House of Representatives to effectively be leaderless or to have a lame duck leader in that we are 2 weeks away from the U.S. government defaulting on its national debt unless Congress raises the federal borrowing limit, what is known as the debt ceiling. There is always this sort of protest that you get in Congress. Why should we be raising the debt ceiling? Let's cut spending. But in the end, Congress usually does, in fact, raise the debt ceiling. It's just a matter of how much drama gets played out before then. And in this case, having Boehner stay on could actually be beneficial to getting this done, in that Boehner is already leaving. He doesn't have to worry about annoying members of his caucus. What's the worst they could do to him? He's going to be leaving anyway. He has the power to bring up a clean bill simply raising the debt limit.
Well, it does appear, at least given that scenario, that Boehner will be around for a little while. The end of the year isn't that far away. And if they do accomplish passing some sort of a budget, that is an accomplishment for Congress.
It is. And it isn't just the debt ceiling. The federal government spending authority, the coffers of the federal government, run dry on December 11th. Congress will have to reauthorize the government to spend money before then, or else we'll have another one of these partial government shutdowns in which you and I are always exempted. Somehow, Jim, we always have to show up.
That's
for
right.
Work. We're still here. And members of the military still have to report to work, and the CIA and the various elements of our government. However, if you are a member, if you work for the National Park Service, more than likely you will be on unpaid leave until Congress retroactively pays you. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of moving parts here, and we are coming up, as we always seem to, with these end-of-year fiscal deadlines. But the one moving part here is that we have a House of Representatives with a lame duck leader, and no one has a clue who is going to replace John Boehner.
Much murkier than the Republican race for the nomination in the White House.
And that is murky enough.
Right. This seems to be almost with no rules or any sort of real structure to it.
It has always been the case that there has been sort of people in waiting to become speaker, and that it's been a fairly orderly process. And we are in somewhat uncharted territories, at least in modern times, as far as having a speaker leave and no one has a clue who will fill his shoes.
The suspense continues, but it's never a suspense each week because we know we can count on Mike Bowman to stop by and fill us in on what's happening on Capitol Hill. Michael, thank you so much.
Thank you, Jim.
Well, amid a huge corruption scandal, football's world governing body FIFA is now seeking a new president. I'm joined by VOA sports editor Park Brewer as we discuss a well-known and previous challenger who is vying to become the head of the embattled global governing body.
Yes, Jim, and it's a name, of course, we've heard before. It's Prince Ali bin Al Hussein of Jordan announcing his candidacy that he wants to become the next president of FIFA. This is a name we've heard bandied about really over the last several years as a possible replacement for Sepp Blatter. And, you know, out of all this stuff that's gone on with the corruption scandal, you just wondered if anybody was going to come clean in this thing, Jim, because we've had so many people now, even guys like Michel Platini. Here he was, head of European football, and we thought he would be a viable candidate. Now he's in a little hot water as well. So what do you do?
Yeah, I mean, there was an allegation that he had accepted a $2 million payment from Sepp Blatter. Sepp Blatter, who was under fire for a long time, immense pressure, and it was kind of surprising that all of a sudden he decided that's it. He's going to step down.
Well, these really are very serious charges, too. And, of course, this goes back to May when all this thing broke, when the U.S. Justice Department levied all these counts, 50 counts of corruption, including racketeering, wire fraud, and money laundering. Swiss officials have also opened a separate criminal investigation involving FIFA's selection of Russia and Qatar, as many people know, to host the World Cup tournaments in 2018 and 2022, respectively. And this really has upset many fans here in the United States, of course, because literally we really thought we were going to get that 2022 World Cup that Qatar got awarded. I was at a group gathering when the announcement was made, and people were really in shock. I mean, think about it. The country of Qatar, no football history whatsoever, a country that's going to be extremely hot. The idea at first was to build stadiums with roofs and air conditioning. We know that's not going to happen now. There's been so much controversy about whether the World Cup could be held in the dates it was going to be held because of the heat. Now they're going to move it to the wintertime, apparently. But, you know, all this with the whole mess we've got now with the head of FIFA. I mean, there were even some calls that somebody should start a whole new governing body and just throw everybody out. But, you know, this thing's been in place for so long, and I don't think you can really do that. But I do think Prince Ali probably is a good candidate, and I don't think he's under this corruption black cloud.
Right. And really, for FIFA to survive and be effective, they need somebody to come in who is clean, or at least relatively clean, and be able to run the organization in a somewhat transparent manner. Having covered World Cups along with you, we all know that it's FIFA's party. You're invited, and they call the shots.
They indeed do, and we know that even from the media standpoint, because FIFA, especially in recent years, has been very restrictive about who they will let cover this World Cup. They often don't award credentials to a lot of media who haven't paid for the rights to broadcast the games live, which is crazy. It's unlike anything that we know in this country when we cover Super Bowls and World Series and NBA championships, where everybody's invited to the party to cover this event, even as non-rights holders, because they're covering it as a news event. FIFA doesn't see it that way. They've got their own rules and regulations, and their rules and regulations that are really past their time, and it's been all the, part of this corruption thing where money talks. And I think it's going to be a refreshing change to see somebody new in charge of FIFA and see what can develop.
And, you know, even with all the problems, FIFA has done some good things in the past. They've had some good programs to help develop the game in many countries around the world. In fact, at the beginning of all the big games, you see them trot out this banner, FIFA Fair Play. It's almost ironic now that FIFA finds themselves embroiled in such huge controversies while, espousing some of these, really lofty thoughts and goals.
Right, it's true. We shouldn't overlook that fact. While they may be taking money, they have given a lot of money to countries to help develop soccer programs at all levels, and that should be commended, and I hope that continues as well when they get new leadership.
Sports editor Park Brewer, thanks for stopping by and at least shedding some light on this. We haven't cleared up the subject yet, but
it won't be a few months probably, Jim. But my pleasure.
Issa Hayatou, by the way, who is the longtime head of the Confederation of African Football, has taken over FIFA as acting president. You're listening to International Edition. This is VOA.
News is mobile, and so are you. Get VOA on the go. Get VOA on Google Currents. Get VOA News specifically made for your tablet and smartphone. Clean, simple, fast. Now available for Android or Apple phones or tablets. Download the Google Currents app for free today. Get VOA on Google Currents at voanews.com/currents.
Hi, I'm Larry London, and I'm the host of Border Crossings, inviting you to join me for one of the best hours of request music possible on the radio. We've got all your favorite songs by your favorite singers. You tell us what to play. It's requests and dedications, and it happens every weekday right here on The Voice of America.
It's that time of the year. Nominations for the 2015 American Music Awards have been announced. VOA's Country Hits USA host Nikki Strong joins International Edition host Sarah Williams to talk about the country music nominees.
Award season is upon us, and the Country Music Association Awards released their nominees about a month back. And just this week, the American Music Association announced their selection. VOA Music's Nikki Strong is here to weigh in on how country music fared. Well, Nikki, were there any surprises for country music in particular at the AMAs this year?
Yes, there were surprises. So aside from the basic country music categories like favorite male and female country artist of the year, country music had nominees in two other coveted categories, which was Artist of the Year and New Artist of the Year. Luke Bryan was nominated again this year for Artist of the Year, and Sam Hunt, who has the most, he's the country artist with the most nominations, he is up for New Artist of the Year. And last year, the AMAs did not have any country artist in that category. So I think it really speaks to his crossover appeal and success he's had this year.
Well, what do you think are the chances for Sam Hunt or Luke Bryan to win in either of those categories?
Well, the AMAs are determined by online voting. So right now there are 10 nominees for Artist of the Year, and that's going to be narrowed down to 5 on November 11th based on fan votes. So Luke Bryan was in the final list last year. Hopefully he will make it again this year. He's up against Taylor Swift, Ed Sheeran, Nicki Minaj, Sam Smith, to name a few, and they have ferocious social media followings. We all know how popular Taylor Swift is.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah. And as far as Sam Hunt is concerned, like Luke Bryan, he has some pretty stiff competition. So he's going up against The Weeknd, who has made history on the charts, as well as the very popular group Walk the Moon and Tove Lo. So like Luke Bryan, his fans are really going to have to show up and vote, especially in light of The Weeknd's tremendous success this year.
Any word or rumor as to which country artists will be performing?
Ah, not yet. Last year, Luke Bryan introduced Garth Brooks live from Garth's concert in North Carolina. And so will Sam Hunt or Carrie Underwood or even Blake Shelton introduce someone else? That has yet to be seen.
When do the AMAs air and where can people vote?
Well, November 22nd, it airs live on the ABC network and people can vote at amavote.com. I already voted.
Okay. You got that message out there, so make sure you vote.
Yes.
Well, you can reach Nikki Strong on Twitter at @VOA_music or on Facebook at simply VOA Music. You can also catch Nikki Strong on Country Hits USA on VOA 1. Thanks very much, Nikki.
Thank you.
Have a good time. I'm gonna bring the good time home to you. We'll have a a homebody, we're gonna have a house party. Throw a neon t-shirt over the lampshade. I'll take the furniture, slide it out of the way. Shaking the floor, rattling the roof. We'll go to town right there in your living room. Let's have a
been listening to International Edition. You can find us at our website, that would be voanews.com, any time of the day or night that you like. We're also on Twitter 24 hours a day. Follow us at @VOA_IE. We always follow our director, Tracy Carter, who gives us the best direction, and our engineer, Ida Nutku, too. Thank you. And you for joining us. Please come again. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. We hope you have a great day.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
U.S. Embassy Deputy Chief of Mission Michael Klein opened the International Atomic Energy Agency workshop on the fundamentals of nuclear safeguards and the additional protocol, held this month in Vientiane, Laos. This workshop was sponsored by the U.S. government through the U.S. Department of Energy and co-hosted by the Department of International Organizations, Ministry of Foreign Affairs of the Lao PDR. During the workshop, 30 participants from the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Ministry of Science and Technology, and other concerned government sectors, as well as the National University of Laos, learned about nuclear safety. Experts from a number of organizations, including the U.S. Department of Energy, Argonne National Laboratory, Pacific Northwest National Laboratory, Lawrence Livermore National Laboratory, and the International Atomic Energy Agency, delivered presentations and conducted interactive exercises designed to introduce participants to international nuclear safeguards. Discussions during the event also covered implementation of the additional protocol, which is a supplement to existing safeguards agreements. During his welcoming remarks, U.S. Deputy Chief of Mission Michael Klein congratulated the Lao DDR on signing the additional protocol in November 2014, as it is a clear demonstration of its commitment to nuclear nonproliferation. This workshop helps ensure that states develop the necessary infrastructure and safeguards to protect against nuclear accidents or proliferation. The United States is proud to work with its partner, Laos, to ensure that nuclear energy is used safely for the benefit of the people of Laos, the Asia-Pacific region, and the world.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government. If you have a comment, please write to Editorials, VOA, Washington, D.C., 20237, USA. You may also comment and view all our current editorials at the VOA Editorials homepage, www.voanews.com/editorials.